Studio 360.
Tracy Ullman first appeared on America's radar and mine in the late 1980s. The Fox network was new, and one of the very first series there was The Tracy Ullman Show. Great primetime sketch comedy, all starring Tracy Ullman. Plus some music, plus some original animated shorts, including some about a cartoon family that morphed into a show of its own eventually.
Almost ready. Here we go.
Let's get the show on the road, man. We got things to do.
Yeah, Dad.
Tracy Ullman is still a remarkable and deeply funny and charming comic actress, and on television again here, this time HBO, with Tracy Ullman's Show. Slightly different title, now starting its second season.
I used to be the most powerful, sexy, confident, sexy, admired, sexy, sought out, sexy female politicians on the global stage.
The show features Ullman's spot-on impersonations of Angela Merkel, we heard there, as well as Judi Dench and a bunch of new people this season. When she moved to the U.S. from England 30 years ago, way before today's era of complicated and unlikable TV characters, she studied American TV shows. So, Tracy Ullman, what was your impression of American TV when you did that crash course in the 1980s?
Yeah, it was different. When I first came to America, network TV seemed to be a lot of sappy, kind of, you know,
gee, let's eat pizza. I really learned something this week. I love you, Mom.
I thought, oh my God. I thought, who celebrates the loser in America? Who celebrates the crappy people? And then I saw Broadway Danny Rose, you know, the film with Woody Allen. I thought, wow, that celebrates a loser. And then I saw Taxi, and Danny DeVito's character was the only sort of mean character on network TV to me.
That's interesting. The idea of not of losers becoming figures of television fiction.
Yeah, and now everyone's a loser on American TV. Everyone's neurotic. Everyone feels like rejected. Everyone feels forgotten.
Homer Simpson,
and marginalized.
Great loser.
You know, back then they didn't.
That's true. That's true. Well, you came here before you were known as this great actor as a musician.
I was a pop singer.
You had a hit.
A top 10 hit.
1983.
I was an MTV VJ.
Were you? That makes sense. That
ridiculous.
Makes some kind of sense. Well, I watched the video of Breakaway, and here is
uh-oh.
Breakaway. Your hit. And that's Tracy Ullman with her hit Breakaway.
Yeah, do your DJ voice.
Well, that's as good as I can do. But
written by Jackie DeShannon.
Is that
the Builder? Yeah, terrific American songwriter. And we used to speed everything up. Remember somebody saying I sound like Minnie Mouse on Methody?
Well, watching you, it sounds. I mean, you look the same, pretty much.
No.
Well, I encourage people to look at it because it looks like Tracy Ullman playing a young, making fun of a young singer.
I didn't really have looks to lose. My family used to call me a troll in that kind
nice.
Of cruel English way when I was a little girl. And I saw my uncle last year. He went, yeah, you still look like a troll.
Well, that's
which
because
is
you're
good.
Six.
Trolls
six,
don't age.
Exactly. And now trolls are a thing again online.
Hello.
So living here for 20 years, you've lived here for 30 years, but you became an American citizen after living here for about 20 years.
I did. Yes, I got married here in 83 to an English man. He never became a citizen. And I had both my children here, and I've had a wonderful career and wonderful life and interesting.
Why did you suddenly decide? You didn't have to. They wouldn't have
This is
out.
Honestly the truth. I met Barack Obama at a small fundraiser. Not even a fundraiser then. He was just like literally meeting
like
people.
Like 2005
at someone's,
yeah.
And I talked to him that night and I thought he was wonderful. And somebody had said something to me glibly at a party a couple of weeks ago, like, yeah, but you don't get it because you're British. And I thought, hang on, I've been here for 30 years. And I thought, no, really, I want to become an American now. And I became an American, and I did indeed vote for Barack Obama twice.
Tom Hanks enabled this as well somehow?
He was the one
legend?
That said, you don't know, you're British. I mean, he said it in his nice Tom Hanks way. It was Tom Hanks. I remember going, Tom, I know a lot about this place. I went, oh, you do you? And so it's your fault, Tom.
Yeah. So your two children grew up here.
They did.
And they're Americans.
Well, they have both. Mabel always likes living in England, and Johnny has a totally British accent.
Really?
And works for James Corden.
How did you manage that?
I don't know. It's me and my husband were so English, and he hung out with us a lot.
And you're okay having a kid in show business?
Show business, as Mel Brooks said on my show business. Oh, but the kid's so talented. I gotta tell you, he's fantastic. He's amazing. Yeah, I know. No, he'll be okay. My daughter was like, never wanted to be in show business. When she was three, someone said to her, do you want to be an actress like your mommy? And she said, no, I want to be something useful like a nurse. And that's Mabel.
And she is like, something useful, right? She's like a...
She has a fantastic job. Yeah, she works for the Power of Nutrition. It's an NGO. And she was at the UN a few
weeks
ago.
She ran for Parliament?
She's come very close to being an MP a couple of times. And that's her passion. Actually, politics, and one day she will be an MP, I think, my daughter.
And you also,
she's certainly the total ruler of our house.
Is that right?
She's supreme leader in our house.
Yes, dear leader, yes.
Yeah.
a character you've done more than once, an American character, is a makeup artist named Ruby Romaine.
Yeah, yeah.
This is she, shopping at a grocery store.
You know, this is a lousy country. As Bette Davis told me once, getting old ain't for sissies, and now I know what she meant. It's tough, you know? People don't want to hire you. Money becomes a problem, you know. There you go.
I'm sorry you can't pay for liquor and cigarettes with food stamps.
Like I said, it's a lousy country. What is it, anti-senior week this week or something, dear?
So where did that come from, that character? Is that yours? Is that a writer's idea?
Just saw those old ladies in Hollywood. It's based on an old union hairdresser. And you see them still, you know, with the cotton candy hair. And, you know, they work with Errol Flynn. Oh, back when stars were stars, you know, he was hot in pictures. And this is a beautiful place, turned on the boom shakalaka town. You know, those kind of alcoholic bigots. And they have their Christmas trees up all year because it's company. And I just love them. You still see them in the polyester pants with the little white mules. And they drive their big cars. So American. Right. They're a little drunk. They go, it's a hot day. I had a couple of beers.
Yeah.
I'd like to be Ruby again. I used to love being Ruby. Everyone loved me being Ruby because I could say anything I wanted.
Yeah. Well, one would like to talk to Ruby about, say, President Trump.
Oh, sis, he's great. He's doing a great job. You crazy kooks here at this liberal radio station, you drive a Volvo.
But your ability to do these gobsmackingly convincing American accents, was that a thing you could always do as a kid?
Yeah, but you have to really work at it, and you have to realize that accents change, and a lot of actors, especially English actors, would get stuck in that dirty, dirty, dirty kind of old movie stuff.
And you go,
nobody talk like that anymore. Hey, look at you, you know, you're in pictures. And people don't realize that you have to listen to that. Everything's changed now from 30 years ago, especially in London, too. Don't just listen to newsreaders or trained people, you know. And I used to call people in Brooklyn. I'd call people like at libraries and car dealerships. Just to talk, just to hear a real voice, you know. And because now I have YouTube, I can look up anybody, but I think I've gotten better at it as I've gotten older. Sometimes I wasn't so great at it. But it's a real fascination
for me.
Is it
a thing, though? I mean, now, as I say, that there are a dozen British actors on American shows playing Americans.
They're great now. Everyone's a lot better at it now.
But it's not so much vice versa. I mean, you rarely hear or see an American actor doing a perfect British accent. Why is that?
Well, we had Kevin Costner in Prince of Thieves. That's really a... Her from Nottingham. No, that's not fair to keep
Meryl Streep was...
And if we all talk about Dick Van Dyke in Mary Poppins it's just not fair.
That's not
fair.
It was
really a long time ago on that soundstage in Burbank. Oh, look, a curry fair. Poor Dick, give him a break.
Yeah.
To do real characters, to do regional people, that's harder.
Yes, rather than just
And that
standard.
Stems from when I first did my show at Fox. Yeah. I would never just let them make me promote in L.A. and New York. I said, there's a whole country out there, and I want to go and see it. I used to travel around a lot and go to really small stations, and I loved it. And I would talk to people and take photographs, and it was a really interesting time.
Yeah. In addition to creating these specific fictional characters, which you do so beautifully, you've been doing a lot of real people. This is you as Dame Judi Dench.
Oi! I saw that. Do you want me to call the police?
I don't know what you mean.
Oh, it's you, isn't it?
If you mean, is it Dame Judi Dench, then yes, it is. How very nice to meet you.
Sorry about that. There must be something wrong with the security camera.
Yes, well, they can be temperamental.
I loved you in James Bond.
Oh, we just try to tell a good story. And thank you.
What was I thinking? Then Judi Dench wouldn't shoplift. You're a national treasure.
Exactly.
I could watch that all day long. She, in other appearances, she knocks over
Judi Dench, yeah,
cans and scratches cars.
Dog poop in the trees.
Yeah.
We have her in there.
And she's been terribly wonderful about me being her.
Has she?
Yes, yes. She's congratulated me and I've sent her presents and things. And she got up on an awards show about a year ago and said, "Hello, I'm Tracy Holman."
She's wonderful.
When you're trying to figure out how to do somebody, what is that process? Does it usually begin with, a writer says, "I'd like you to do Angela Merkel," or you say, "Hey, I can do a kind of a good Angela Merkel." How does that work?
Well, I'm the head writer on the show, so I write and I come up with, most of the who I think I can be. I wanted to be Angela Merkel. I admired her a lot, and I'd always remember that moment when George W. Bush came and hugged her from behind, and she went,
yes.
You know. And so I thought, she's the most important woman in world politics, and certainly in Europe in the last couple of years. So then you got to get a bit of a hook, because if you're just going to do a straight impersonation, then it has to be something else. I have to sort of interpret them or find a hook. So I thought, imagine if she thinks that she's very, very sexy and that all the men are just trying to, you know, come around her and find her terribly attractive. So I decided to give that hook for her, which seemed to work. I have to play them very, very real. I have to look exactly like her. But it's the inner emotional life I try to find, you know, a different thing for.
There are various kinds of comic impersonations. You seem to be at the I want to do this uncannily accurately end of the spectrum.
I have this brilliant makeup artist, Floris Schuler, at the moment, who is a sculptor, and he does art stuff, but he's doing my makeups, and he does make me look like, he gives me their soul with these makeups. I used to do makeups a lot of years ago, but they were latex then and they were thicker and they weren't as real. Huh. And now you can do extraordinary things. But I do. I do look incredibly like them. I don't ever do it in a sort of wacky,
yes,
surreal way.
Cartoon way.
No.
And so when you're in the makeup chair to become Judi Dench or Angela Merkel, is that an hour longer? How long does that
take? My rule is I can't have anything that just takes longer than 2 hours to put on, because you'd never make your television
schedule.
That's a long
time.
It's a long time, but, you know, like, you know, people think prosthetic makeups. You know, Jim Carrey for The Grinch, I think he was just 23 hours a day in the makeup chair, or John Hurt in Elephant Man. You know, people have these visions of prosthetic makeups taking a hell of a long time.
Yeah.
They're pre-painted, you put them on, they have to just take 2 hours, and then I get on with it and I do it, and, you know, otherwise it would just take us all day.
And I'm going to go Angela Merkel. Do you just sort of go about the day saying normal things? Oh, look, there's the television, there's a piano, in her voice, or do you need scripted
lines? Yes, I like
lines?
To stay in character, and I like to talk to my director, Dominic Brickstock, in character. The crew treat me. I mean, it's not in a sort of pretentious actory way.
Right.
Sometimes I break out of it does help. And I have great fun being in character with, you know, and it's amazing he'll improvise really well with you.
I bet.
Yeah, someone's the guy that
just regular lights. People?
Yeah, they're really good. You know, and if I'm Theresa May, hello, hello, anybody vote Conservative here? And they're all, no, I bloody didn't.
Yeah. I guess you're lucky having a female Prime Minister right now.
Yeah, for how long, we don't know. For right now, we do.
Yeah.
We'll see where all this goes. But this is why I have to do a show that we tape 48 hours before it goes out.
Oh,
right,
is it
now
that close to?
Yeah, we're setting up some stuff, and then we're going in 48 hours before the show goes out and putting in 10 minutes of topical material every week, because that's what everyone is enjoying right now and what we have to do, because I can't do a piece about Theresa May today for 3 weeks' time. It probably wouldn't work.
Well, that's interesting. So it's all done in advance, of
course.
We're
doing it,
except for a bit.
It's as Saturday Night Live-ish as we can get.
Shouldn't they be making you, knighting you or something soon?
I'm not a royalist. No.
Dame Tracy Ullman isn't in the cards?
No, it's not my thing. You know, if you want to, that's your thing, fine. It never has been with me.
Yeah. All the men.
I like impersonating Camilla Parker Bowles.
You do her well.
Well, I just thought, I think I sound like Prince Charles within her body or something.
No.
It's just
you don't look.
No, it's nothing like everybody, but I do.
I don't know.
I've had fun doing that.
But to me, I've actually never heard her speak. I just take your version of her as what she is.
Well, they do. They speak terribly like this, and they are terribly, you know, they talk about horses and charities and things, and it's that English thing where you don't move your mouth when you talk.
Yes.
You rarely hear them talk, and they talk like that. I like recently that Kate Middleton, who's sort of having to become posh because she wasn't originally, I like that she has this morning sickness, and they talk about it. They say Kate Middleton will not be doing her regular duties. She's suffering from hyperemesis gravidarum.
It's like she's throwing up.
That's funny.
You know, it's so royal.
It's royal vomiting.
Hyperemesis gravidarum. As if all the subjects will know, yeah. Oh, that's Latin for morning sickness, that is.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got a bun in the oven.
What a pleasure it is talking to you.
Nice time talking to you. Even though you're a communist, left-wing, you know, NPR revolutionaries, I like it here.
Good.
Have we got a cocktail? You got some alcoholic here?
We got some G&Ts.
Yeah,
coming,
turmeric tea you're serving, all this herby stuff, you know. A little alcohol wouldn't go amiss here.
You can come back anytime
you want. I would love to.
What a pleasure. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, thank you so much.
Tracy Ullman's newest show, Tracy Ullman's Show, is on HBO. Its second season has just begun.